Sorry. But welcome back to Conda Crazy and Age Ways. We're here each Sunday at 11 on 850 AM WFTL and in South Florida. And we are here live on YouTube as well at Condo Craze and HOAs on our very own channel. So you want to tune in there as well so you can see us. You can also call in. You can also comment on the YouTube channel. Ask us questions on the YouTube channel. We'll answer them there. So that's a new feature of the show. We're very happy about it. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law, and he has a firm with attorneys in Fort Lauderdale and in Orlando. And we are each week to answer all your calls and emails about issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. And we'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions. So give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. That's toll-free, 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, clicking on the Contact Us tab, or you can go to YouTube and ask us your question on our YouTube channel, Condo Craze and HOAs. Hey, Eric.
How are you? Good morning. How cool it would be if the caller was able to be on the screen as well.
Oh, man.
We got to figure that out. Oh. We got our tech team. You know, it took so much work to get to where we are now. So thank you, Robert Lissman, by the way, who's put everything together and who's making all this work and working really, really hard. But hey, if you're a fan of the show, don't forget to subscribe to two things going forward. Number one, you got to subscribe to the Condo Craze and HOA's channel on YouTube, and you got to subscribe to our email list and you can join our email list by going to our website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Maybe we'll figure out a way how to link that too. Again, by joining each week, you can get announcements about the show. We're going to be doing lots of videos when things come out. You'll get announcements about our newsletters, announcements about our show, and a whole lot more. And that's why we got about 10,000 people now on our email list. So everybody wants to keep abreast of what's going on.
Yeah.
Especially now during the legislative session.
Yeah.
The legislature is convened. And let me tell you, if there ever was a year for condo change, this is the year, in light, unfortunately, of the Surfside Champlain Towers tragedy. And, hey, before we get going, I really want to thank everybody. I can't tell you how many emails we got last week saying that last week's show went great. And they really enjoy this format, actually, watching it on YouTube.
Well, good.
So I'm glad so far it's working out.
Yeah,
so
me too.
So far, so good.
I'll tell you what. And, you know, we had a few little glitches last week, but it all went really, really smoothly, I thought, for first debut. And no doubt we're going to get better and better and better at it.
No two ways about it. Hey, let's get right to the heart of the matter. As our listeners know, Senator Ana Maria Rodriguez, she has filed my bill. It's numbered 394, which requires mandatory condo education, and that bill is pending in the Florida Senate. But if you think she's done with just that bill, if that's the only thing she wants to accomplish this legislative session in terms of condo law, let me tell you, you would be wrong. She also filed Senate Bill 274, and that's going to create the Condominium Fraud Investigation Pilot Program.
Wow, if anything, that's a deterrent.
Yeah, well, it might be, right? That's something we're going to talk about. Is that going to be a deterrent to even run for the board? You know, Julio Urbina has been a former state representative. He's been on this show many times,
yeah.
Right? And I can tell you, this has always been, you know, his brainchild. This is always something that he wanted to enforce. Remember that grand jury came out from Miami a couple of years ago saying
there's a lot of it.
There's a lot of fraud going on in Dade County condos, whether that's true or not. You know, that's the bottom line. That's what that grand jury found. But they never did anything about it. Well, this bill intends to definitely do something about it for the first time. It's really very, very, very unique.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. How is this program, these fraud investigation programs, supposed to work?
All right, so according to the bill itself, the purpose of the program is to investigate condominium-related fraud and corruption in only three counties, though, in Florida.
Oh, because it doesn't up anywhere else.
Yeah, it's going to get, if it gets passed, unless this bill is amended the way it is right now, it would only apply to three counties, Broward, Miami-Dade, and Monroe counties.
Oh, so not even Palm Beach.
Not even Palm Beach. So Palm Beach, you're stealing from your condo. Keep going.
Oh, geez, no, Eric.
Nobody to investigate you, right?
Oh,
but
my
this
God.
Bill, this bill so far is limited to three counties. But my hunch is that as this bill progresses, or if it progresses, why would we limit it to three counties?
Yeah.
I think it's going to wind up, you know, going a lot further and being expanded to perhaps every county in the state.
I suppose, you know, if it shows that they caught some fraud and that it works, and then it'll take off.
Right. Remember, this is a pilot program, like you said. If it works, it will go forward. No two ways about it.
All right, Eric, so who's going to run this program? I mean, I'm sure the DBPR has got its fingerprints on it.
No question about it. Actually, the DBPR gets the right to really run it. They would have the right, well, this is pretty interesting. They'd have the right to contract with a private entity that employs retired law enforcement personnel, right? And they would have subject matter in financial fraud. Right?
Okay.
So the experts that they hire is, in effect, police officers would be experts in financial fraud. And the DBPR would have to hire five law enforcement officers to carry out the purpose of the program. And if they don't contract with that private entity, the DBPR must hire three financial investigators, five investigators with previous law enforcement experience, and three clerical employees to staff the program. I mean, they're really trying to put together something here where they'd be able to do at least a few serious investigations per year of financial fraud that may be going on in a condominium.
Yeah, so now let's say there's a person living in a condo in Broward County and they believe that there's financial fraud taking place at their condominium. So what should they do in order to get that ball rolling?
So a person actually gets the ball rolling under this bill by submitting a complaint to the ombudsman's office. Remember, the condo ombudsman's office. And that is Spencer Hennings, and Spencer's been a guest on our show as well. And
I remember
the
that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He'd be required to review all complaints submitted to his office, and he determines which complaints that would get forwarded to the DBPR for additional analysis and investigation. If a complaint submitted to his office doesn't contain allegations of fraud or corruption, the ombudsman, or does actually find allegations of fraud and corruption, he has to send that complaint to the Division of Florida Condominiums, Timeshares, and Mobile Homes.
Well, so this gives the DBPR more teeth, I'm assuming more power. Does that mean they get more than $4
Well, that's how the program is going to get funded.
Yeah.
The DBPR would also have the right now to subpoena,
audit,
and investigate for the purposes of the program. They can administer oaths, right? So if they believe some wrongdoing is going down at your condominium, they could send over an investigator, and the investigator can say, okay, that's your position in this case. I want you to swear to it under oath. And if you swear to it under oath and get caught lying, well, you've just committed perjury.
Whoa.
So you're setting yourself up. You know, it's like what happened in so many political arrests. If a lot of people just would have told the truth, right, they wouldn't have gotten arrested. But so many political cases over the last 2 years resulted in simply not cooperating and instead getting arrested for not cooperating. So if the DBPR wants to take your statement and administer oaths, you'd have to really be truthful. They'd have the right to subpoena witnesses, compel production of your books and records.
Oh, boy.
And all the records relevant to the investigation. If after reviewing a complaint under the program, the DBPR finds sufficient evidence for criminal prosecution, listen to this sentence because it uses the word must. It must refer the case to the appropriate state attorney's office for prosecution. So think about that. The DBPR goes down with their new investigators to Broward County. They do an investigation of potential fraud going on, let's say, in a Broward condo. And, yeah, they think there's money taken here, and they perhaps have an idea of whom it was taken by. They would be required by law now to send it over to the Broward County State Attorney's Office. And, of course, the same thing would apply in Monroe and Dade.
So if it says must and not shall, then there's no discretion, right?
Yeah, if it does, it doesn't say may, right?
Or may.
Yeah, may. If it's this is pretty clear that if there's sufficient evidence, the state attorney's office, they're going to have to prosecute the case. It's going to be referred to them, but I guess the state attorney's office can always say, well, we don't believe it's sufficient evidence.
Oh.
So you can go through all this drama. The DBPR can do their investigation with their financial experts. They can refer it to the state attorney's office. But the way I read the statute is it's still the state attorney's bottom line. They get the decision as to whether or not to prosecute the case in the end. Now, I think it's wonderful, you know, that we're trying to establish some way of investigating condo fraud. I get it. But where the resources are also needed is, I don't know if the bill goes far enough, there needs to be some dedicated employees at the state attorney's office level.
Oh, right, that understand this stuff.
Right? I mean, you know, their attitude at the state attorney's office level is, look, we're dealing with murderers, we're dealing with
yeah,
rapists.
Yeah, it's not very
we're
sexy,
dealing
right?
With, yeah, we're dealing with killers, we're trying to keep our streets safe, and, you know, you're telling me someone forged a condo envelope in an election. You know, there needs to be attorneys devoted to that, you know, at the state attorney's office. And so far, that's not in this bill. And, you know, that's what's bothering me. But you asked earlier, who's going to pay
yeah.
for all of this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some good news. You know, the $4 that everybody pays per year, the $4 per unit per year.
That doesn't get used and goes in the general fund?
Exactly. Well, now that money is going to have to be used to fund this program. So I think that's a pretty good thing.
And if you're in an HOA and you're going, well, what about us? Never
yeah.
mind.
Never.
You're not even associated with the DVR.
Here we go again, Karen, right? Apparently the Florida legislature thinks that crime does not happen in HOAs. There's a complete hands-off policy, and crime only occurs in condominiums. But I'm guessing some of our callers, especially those living in HOAs, would disagree. So, hey, I'd love to know what our listeners and viewers now think, right? Think this is a good program, right? Get some financial fraud investigators employed by the DBPR to investigate condo fraud, but not HOA fraud. Do you think it would be a deterrent from people running for the board in the first place? Hey, let us know. Give us a call in the studio. Well, go ahead, Karen.
I think it would be a deterrent. I think people still run for the board, but it will be a deterrent for them to do anything wrong.
To commit crime, then it would be a good thing, right?
I think
then it's a
good
thing.
It's a great thing.
Yes. Yeah, right. Look,
then
bottom
the people
line is,
with the right intent are running for the board.
Exactly. If you're not stealing, you have nothing to worry
That's
about,
right?
You know, it's like people always make a big deal. The government may be listening to my phone calls.
But you're
you
not
know,
doing anything.
My attitude is, who cares? Let them listen.
Exactly.
You know, what am I doing, right? I really, that doesn't bother me that much. But let's know what our listeners think. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585, back right after this.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243, affinitymanagementservices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? DMI Paving and Seal Coating can help. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is the largest seal coating company in the United States, an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let DMI Paving and Seal Coating pave the way and make your community look great. At DMI Paving and Seal Coating, they believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, condominium and hotel associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is a LEED accredited Green Advantage certified environmentally responsible full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. DMI Paving and Seal Coating serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call today for a free estimate, 800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. Or visit DMIPavingAndSealCoating.com.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL and on YouTube Live on our Condo Craze and HOAs channel. You want to subscribe there, watch us. You can ask us questions on the live feed. It's a lot of fun, let me tell you.
Yeah, Eric, I gotta admit, I'm having fun. This is a lot of fun.
It's fantastic.
As a matter of fact, the people who are watching on YouTube are even able to ask questions, and I didn't even know they were going to be able to do that.
Yes.
But let's start with one. Someone had a question. Can a condo association stop a unit owner from installing an EV, I guess that's an electric vehicle station, in their assigned spot? And boy, talk about asking the right person.
Stop them from?
Stop them from installing an electric vehicle station in their assigned parking spot. So a couple of years ago, we had a client in northern part of Florida who called us and said, you know, here we are. We live in a society where the government wants to encourage us to buy electric vehicles. The state wants to encourage us to get electric vehicles. We're trying to get away from using gas to have a cleaner environment. So I go and I buy an electric car and I bring it to my condo, and my condo says, we're not letting you charge it anywhere here. No, we're not allowing you to build an electric vehicle charging station at your assigned spot. And the Florida legislature happened to be in session at the time, and Attorney Paul Kim in my office drafted a statute. I think at the time, Nevada was the only state that actually had a statute that addressed the electric vehicle issue. And we put together a statute, and we got a bill filed. And if I tell you, the client probably had to be amazed, because we got the bill filed, passed, signed by the governor, I would say all within about a 90-day process. So no, they can't stop you, was the bottom line. And for some reason this year, they even added natural gas vehicles. I don't know many vehicles that run on natural gas, but they can't prevent you from installing a natural gas charging station.
Cannot.
Or cannot prevent you. Or an electronic vehicle charging station, or electric vehicle charging station. And if you got to jump through a lot of hoops in order to do it. Those hoops are, you have to have it obviously done by licensed, qualified personnel, right? You got to be responsible for any damage. You got to take out an insurance policy naming the association as an additional insured.
Oh boy.
Of course, you have to pay for the electric bill that comes in every month. But the bottom line is, if you jump through all these hoops, then no, they cannot stop you from installing an electric vehicle charging station in your spot.
So okay, so I want to be clear. But if the condo wants to install electrical vehicle outlets in your spot and you don't want it, can you say
right.
No?
Then the question is, and I'd have to check the statute, would the installation of a electric vehicle charging station be considered like a material change to the common element? And I think the statute actually addresses that and says, no, it's not a material change. You know, this is where, you know, we want to eventually go. We want to have condos with electric vehicle charging stations. And there are a lot of condos that have it already. You know, especially a lot
right.
of the higher end condos. A lot of people are driving, you know, Teslas. And, you know, they make sure that If you bring home a Tesla, you have the right to install an electric vehicle charging station in your spot. That's
just
now
a,
the law.
Just a little point of something I noticed. You remember all the cars that were stuck on I-95 in Virginia?
Yep. Uh-huh.
If they were electric cars, that would have been a major problem.
Really?
Right?
Well, why would it have been a problem?
They would have run out of a charge.
Oh, and never been able to move again.
No, and then they had to, it takes 8 hours to charge your vehicle.
Oh, man, my God, how do you bring chargers there?
What would you do?
I have no idea. That's why I didn't buy an electric car yet. It still hasn't hooked me. You know, it looks like fun. It looks great. The Teslas are beautiful. But I'm not there yet. Not for me.
We were going to drive to Alabama for my daughter's wedding. We're thinking of, you know, renting a Tesla, but it takes 8 hours to charge it. So I get halfway there, and I have to
stop, pull over, charge somewhere. I don't know.
So far,
not for me. How about we go to the phones? Lenore from Royal Palm. Good morning, Lenore.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
How are you?
I'm here. I have some election questions at an annual meeting that.
Yes.
A few of us would be interested in your answers.
Sure.
On submitting an intent to run, do the intents have to be signed and dated?
No, they just need to be signed, saying, hey, I want to run for the board.
They have to be signed?
Yeah, and it's got to be, it's got to obviously have the person's name on it. Did the person fill it out? That's the only question I care about. Did the person fill out the notice of intent form?
It was typed, and there's no date and no signature.
Oh, that's interesting. So there's no date and no signature, but it was typed. I'd have to check the administrative code for that. That's an interesting question.
Okay.
But
at the annual meeting, we were told that our ballots had to be in before the annual meeting, which I don't think is true. I believe owners can submit their ballots on the meeting night.
On not only that, there has to be envelopes available for you. There has to be ballots available for you at the annual meeting.
Correct.
And a person is allowed to cast their vote up until the very first envelope is opened. Right up until that time, a unit owner has a right to cast their vote.
Okay. And I have one other question.
Sure.
Somebody sent in electronically by her cell phone an intent to run. Would that be legal?
I think if you look at the statute, basically, if the condo association gets the notice of intent by any means, and I can look this up
break.
Yeah, by any means, whether it be by fax, whether it be by email, whether it be by text, whatever it may be, as long as it's clear that they received the notice of intent, yes, that person's name should be put on the ballot.
Okay.
Well, we've had an annual meeting set for the end of January, and we've all been notified that it's been canceled.
Right.
How long does the current board have to schedule another annual meeting and an election?
Yeah, so in other words, they're admitting that they screwed up and the ballot should have included more people? Is that what they're saying?
They didn't put envelopes in. They made quite a few mistakes on the second mailing.
Okay, so I would just do the second mailing all over again, and it's supposed to be somewhere between 14 and 35 days before the annual meeting. So as long as they send it out between 14 and 35 days, they're okay. Okay?
Sounds good. Thanks for your help, Lenore.
I hope that
fraud bill passes and they include Palm Beach County.
Yes.
And right.
Good
now
point.
I know, Lenore, you've been a board member before and you still wanted to go, right? So it wouldn't deter you from running for the board, right?
No, as you said, I don't do anything incorrectly or wrong.
Right, exactly. Lenore, thanks for the call.
But it needs to come to Palm Beach County, that's for
sure. As well. Eric, thanks, Lenore. Yeah.
Someone's asking on YouTube channel if moving the dog area is material alteration.
Moving the dog area for material alteration. In other words, if there's two pieces of grass, let's say, and you say, no, use this grass instead of this grass, and then they make a change.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is.
Okay.
Material alteration is maybe if they moved the fences that surrounded a dog area, that might be considered material alteration, or added additional fences for an additional dog area, that might be considered
or pooper scoopers or something.
Yeah, you know, don't laugh. involved in a situation right now where all a condo wants to do is install some pegs in the ground, basically, that hold paper bags or plastic bags so you can use it for your dogs. The condo even wants to supply it, and people are screaming that's a material alteration.
Really?
Even though they want to keep the place clean. So, all right, next call. How about we go to Barry in Miami?
Yeah, hi, Karen. Hi, Eric. How are
you? Hey, Barry. How are you?
Good, good. I really like your education bill. And what do you think of extending it to CAMS and licensed CAMS that they both take a board certification course? Right now, it can take three of their hours can be elective, but it doesn't have to be a board certification course.
Yep.
And in addition, that they be required to sign a certificate that indicates that they've read the governing document.
Yeah.
And I'm suggesting a bill to amend 468 to put those provisions in. Do you think, like Senator Rodriguez or one of your legislators that you work with would be amenable to that?
Yeah, perhaps. I got to tell you, I think it's a great idea. Because, and I don't mean this as a knock to CAMS, it's the same thing, you know, as an attorney. When you start out, you know, you can graduate your 18 hours that you have to go to school or whatever, but it doesn't mean that you know anything. You don't really learn anything until you start dealing with practical matters. And I think one of the best parts about the education class is that it's a very practical class. We really talk about things that actually go on in condominiums, and at least when I teach it, there's a whole section that I devote to what CAMS can do and what CAMS cannot do. And not to be intimidated when your client that you're working for as a CAM puts you in a difficult position, like asks you a legal question. Is it legal if we do this? Is it illegal if we do that? Like, CAMS are not allowed to answer questions like that. CAMS are not allowed to review a statute and figure out how it applies in the condominium that they're working for. That's a legal issue. But there's so many other day-to-day topics that we deal with in the board cert class that I think it can only be a wonderful thing for a CAM to go. And we have lots of CAMs that go. Like you said, they get credit, but it's not mandatory that they take it. Would I like to see them take it? Unquestionably. Now, Barry, you also sent me an email this week that said our education bill is working its way into other bills, and I didn't see that. Can you update us a little bit about it?
Yes, the same language that's in the Rodriguez bill is in Senator Pizzo's bill to require both the certification as well as the requirement to certify that you've read the documents. So
that
both
is fantastic.
Pieces, it's not, you don't just take the education certificate.
It's got to be both.
You got to sign both.
An affidavit that you
both.
Read your governing documents.
That's in that bill. And if your bill doesn't get passed with Senator Rodriguez, it's surely going to get passed in a much
Well, typically
more
what happens,
bill,
just
so.
Yeah, typically what happens for our, just so our listeners know, let's say there's, you know, 10 different condo bills that get filed each year. They start to take out the bad parts and they narrow it down to maybe one bill or two bills, right? It keeps getting amended and you keep the good parts, throw away the bad parts of all 10 bills. And that's probably what's going to happen here. The fact that yet a second senator included my language in their bill that's a great sign that this is definitely something that's probably, you know, going to go forward, and I can't wait to see it passed. But Barry, thank you so much for the call, for keeping us on our toes. How about we take one more before we go to a break? Sue from Hollywood. How are you, Sue?
Hi, Eric. How are you this morning?
What a great name for a legal show, Sue, right? Perfect. Perfect. Exactly. How can we help you, Sue?
Exactly. Okay. Believe it or not, our on-site manager asked me, just a resident who happens to be a nosy resident, but anyway, a resident,
right,
where they can file a covenant change in Broward County.
The manager asked you that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
did the unit owners vote on the covenant change?
I doubt it, because this is the first I've heard of it. What it is, it's a solar bill for some of our townhouses, and because they have shared roofs.
Right.
And it's an emergency, they think, and apparently they got one or made one that's suitable to them and to the lone member of the HOA that hasn't abandoned us because it's still the developer's HOA.
Okay. Bottom line is...
And that's the question they asked me.
We got to make sure that the unit owners, the homeowners, voted on this bill. And if it's going to be an amendment to the governing documents, this CAM, you know, and this is exactly what Barry was talking about. This CAM should not be the one filing the amendments to the documents in the, the answer is it gets filed in the clerk's office where the property is located. So if the property is located in Broward, it would get filed in the official records of Broward County. You'd actually, you know, you can go down and file it, or you can file it.
But not without a vote.
Not without a vote of the unit owners. And not without a certificate, typically, signed by the president and the secretary.
I failed to tell you that this was an HOA. Does an HOA have that same restriction?
Same thing. And the amendment can't be filed unless attached to that amendment, typically, is a certificate signed by the president and secretary attesting to the fact that it was done after a unit owner's vote. So, you know, this is not something that the CAM should be doing.
Okay, and what percentage of the unit owners have to approve it?
Don't know. Typically under the documents is at least 2/3 or 3/4, okay? But, Sue, thanks for the call. We got to take our bottom of the hour break. Keep us on our toes, everybody. Keep it coming. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Call 954-846-1206. 954-846-1206. That's 954-846-1206.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225. Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and H-Ways here on 850 WFTL. Don't wait to the end of the show to contact us at 877-850-8585, or you can go to our YouTube channel. We are live there right now.
Lots of questions coming in, Karen. Yeah, how about Janet asks a great question. Can an association charge a capital contribution fee to new owners? Can it be used to defray insurance costs? And the answer to that is absolutely not.
Ooh.
And let me tell you something. I'm not going to say who, but I was found myself in a really terrible position. I did not give them the advice to do it. Another attorney did, but I represented an association that was charging new buyers a capital contribution fee. And let's just say they had to give it all back. And we're talking about to a lot of people, major class action. So, no, condos cannot charge a capital contribution fee.
What is that?
Unlike HOAs. Like, you move in and every person that moves in has to put down, like, an extra $2,000. It goes right to the HOA so that the HOA gets to use it to make capital improvements to the property. And in an HOA, it's allowed. In a condo, absolutely 100% not allowed. So be careful, okay? All right, got another one from Melanie. Is condo property considered private property? My complex is trying to remove trees damaging the property. Residents called the city, and they said we're commercially developed and would need a permit. Now, that's never been challenged in a court of law. However, I do recall, and one of the members of the commission in Weston asking me, you know, what do I think if a tree is not on somebody's specific property but is on HOA-owned property but in a residential community, would that new law apply that would allow an arborist to declare that tree to be unsafe and removed without a permit? I'm like, absolutely. That's exactly what that meant. It was meant for. Not just it has to be right on the person's house, but that it can be anywhere in an HOA. If it's causing the ground to be torn up.
But it's not a material alteration?
No, not an HOA. No, absolutely not. So now any tree, if it's causing potential damage to persons or property, again, that an arborist that declares it that way, it could be removed without a permit, and they can't make you replace one. And cities are freaking out about it. So some of them are saying, well, if it's on HOA common elements, it's not on residential property, it doesn't apply. And to that one, I say BS. I'll take that to court anytime. Okay? Back to the phones. How about we go to Julie in Hollandale?
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Karen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
What's going on?
Love the stripes, Karen.
No, thank you.
So two comments. Two comments. One on the DBPR. So finally they went to the dentist and got some teeth. That's good
to
know.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I think they need some education because they are used to being completely, toothless, right, to repeat the analogy. So I think that needs to be addressed. On the mandatory education for the board members, I think it's absolutely fantastic. Now, if we go back to the question of the reserves,
yes.
The board does not vote on the reserves, right? The owners do.
The owners vote on
reserves,
correct.
So I think the owners need to be educated as well, at least on that topic.
Of course.
Maybe there should be a program that rewards the association where 80% of the owners, for example, completed the course. So something along those lines, I think, may be helpful. So done with the comments. Now it's a question.
No, I think that's a great idea. As a matter of fact, I floated the idea of, you know, how about the insurance industry giving the condo association or homeowners association a discount on directors and officers coverage if all of the directors and officers actually get certified by taking a class. That I'd like to see the insurance industry step up and do. I think that would be great. I think it's a good idea, Julia. Thanks for the call. How about we go to Sam in Tampa Bay?
Hold on a second. I have a question.
Go. Yes, quickly.
Are you still with me? Okay. On the material alteration, the association presented a vote to the ownership on the alteration of the collar. The way they phrased it is, do you want a new collar or do you want to keep the old collar? So that was the question. Then they proceed to give them an option of collars, and there is an option of one. Not only that, in the illustration, yeah, that's the morons. The illustration of the colors is not full, is not inclusive. It only shows one side of the building, and it's unknown what are they planning to paint the other side of the building. My question is, what is the proper way to stop this abomination and annul this particular vote until they actually present the owners with the proper choice?
Probably,
what do we do?
Probably by threatening to file an arbitration action until a new notice is sent to the owners specifically clarifying what the material alterations are going to be, because the first set of voting materials that you sent to the owners were inaccurate, misleading, etc., right? So I would say, and if you don't do it within the next 10 days, we will be filing an arbitration action. That's probably the best way to
are they
to
obligated
put this on hold.
To give them more colors?
No. As a matter of fact, you know, you want to make sure you actually limit the choices, because so you get that 75%. You know
got
what I mean?
It.
Yeah.
But
hey,
not,
but we got
to,
no choice this time. Got to take our break. Taking your calls, everybody, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Back right after this.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo, and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face to face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL and on YouTube. Our channel is Condo Craze and HOAs. Give us a call. Phones are stacked now, but if someone should drop off, 877-850-8585 and ask Eric Glazer, who specializes in community association law, a question, or you can ask on the YouTube channel.
Hey, Karen, you know, one thing I did forget was to tell our listeners that our seminars are coming back.
Yay.
And they're coming back real soon. I just have to figure out where I put that page with the dates. Yeah, here we go. All right. So I don't have to tell you, right now we're smack dab in the middle of election season. And even tomorrow night I'll be running one in Aventura. And as we talk about all the time on the show, if you don't get certified within 90 days of getting on the board, you are off the board. And one way, and the best way, and the smart way to get certified is by taking an educational class. How about taking the one that I've taught 21,000 people to?
Oh, my God,
right?
Really? 21,000?
21,000 people to. Yeah, approved by the DBPR. And the first one coming up already is February 1st. 9 o'clock in the morning at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo in Palm Beach County. So we're going to start off in Palm Beach County at the Palm Beach Convention Center February 1st.
Yeah.
Then 3 days later, February 4th,
Miami
Beach. Yes, 9 o'clock at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo at the Miami Beach Convention Center. And then we wind up Broward County February 15th, 9 o'clock in the morning at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo as well. Broward Convention Center.
It's good to be back in person on those, right?
Oh, I love it.
I know
really
you do.
And
you teach so many different topics at the seminar, including reserves, importance of the from time to time language, official records, different types of documents that govern your community, service and emotional support animals, that's a biggie, collections, manager responsibilities, all of the new laws that were passed this year and potentially could be passed this year.
Absolutely.
And a lot more. And he serves food. Everyone walks out with a beautiful frameable certificate, notes from what he told you, and certainly much, much, much wiser.
Absolutely.
How do they register?
Just go to our website, condocrazeandhoas.com, condocrazeandhoas.com. Click on the register tab. And we look forward to seeing you again first or second week in February. Again, Palm Beach, Miami Beach, and Broward County. So please make sure you sign up. All right, back to the phones. How about we go to Sam in Tampa Bay? How are you, Sam?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question, Eric, is due to all the concerns of having the condominium building inspections by the association, board of directors are now engaging in the engineering and building restoration contracts. Yep. What does association attorney look for when they review these contracts in regards to protect the association? That would be my question.
That's great. And we have Penny Mays, who's board in our office, who's board certified in construction law. And she works out of our Orlando office, and we hand those contracts to the engineer. You know, there's a lot of things we look for. How about simple things in contracts like start and completion dates?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. You know, we make a joke about it, but you'd be surprised how many times client will come in and say, why is this taking forever? And I'll say, well, what was the completion date agreed to? And there is no start and completion date. You know, that's just one thing you want to talk to. You want to make sure how the engineer gets paid. Because I can tell you what I don't like to see in an engineering contract is the engineer gets paid based upon the eventual price of the job.
Eventual?
Right, right. So the engineers, we hire the engineer to do, you know, an electrical and a structural inspection. And his or her pay is dependent upon the amount of the job that is charged by the contractor. I don't want to see that. Why? Because when an association hires an engineer, mm-hmm. you're hiring the engineer to, in effect, protect you from the contractor, right?
Right.
So when you hire an engineer whose salary is dependent upon what the contractor is going to charge, needless to say, the engineer has an incentive in seeing that the contractor charges more, because that way the engineer makes more. So you're asking me for things that you want to be careful about? Those two things come to mind the most, Sam, okay? So be careful. Have that contract reviewed by counsel before you sign it. How about we go to Mary in Lake Worth?
Good morning.
Hey, Mary. How are you?
Good. Good morning and Happy New Year to everyone. I have two questions. We have our membership meeting coming up in February, and our second packet came out, and there was an error. They wrote for the e-voting, because it's the first time they do e-voting.
Right.
And in the instructions, it says they wrote in there five candidates, and then in parentheses, they put four.
Ah.
So some people reading that might try to, even under paper ballot, elect five people, and then their ballots are going to get knocked out.
Get knocked out. There's no question that if there's supposed to be four, you're telling me there's supposed to be only four, but they wrote the word five, so a lot of people...
They wrote the word five and four in parentheses, which is on the instructions for the e-voting.
And it should really be four.
But anybody
four.
Reading it might get confused.
I'm confused.
No question in my mind that we're dealing with a situation where, since there's supposed to be four, and people can certainly make the mistake and vote for five, but if you vote for five, your ballot has to be thrown in the garbage, right? Discounted because you voted for too many people.
Right.
If that's the situation that this mailing caused, no question about it, do over, right? Remember as a kid
do
we
over.
Yelled do over? Well, this is definitely a do over. The second notice has to go out again with all new ballots. Accidents happen. It's complicated, believe me. It's complicated to do the whole election process. But you know, it's very easy to make one simple mistake. But one simple mistake like this particular mistake, is a big one, right? Especially if ballots are going to get tossed in the garbage because someone made a mistake in preparing them. So obviously the intent of a lot of voters are going to be thrown out. So no question about it that this should be a do-over. The second mailing should go out all over again. No question in my mind.
Okay. They sent us emails correcting it.
Oh, boy.
They sent us emails not even close to being good enough. What about those who don't read their email?
Yeah.
The bottom line is at the end, the end is going to be discounted and thrown out ballots because it created confusion. And that automatically, no doubt in my mind, is going to require a new election if you wanted to challenge it, Mary.
I think federal elections should go this way.
I don't even want to talk about it. Don't get me going, please. Okay? All right.
Let's
how about.
Do it.
Are they supposed to send.
Mary, thanks for the call, but we got a few minutes. We got a few minutes left, and the phone lines are stacked, so how about we go to Dave in Boca?
Hey, Dave.
Morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Question. I'm unfamiliar with this term, mitigating roofs.
Right.
Okay. Our association, we have 250 units in our section, and we're putting all new roofs on.
Okay.
Do we get a blanket certification for mitigation of the roof, or does each one have to receive a certificate?
Are you saying mitigation from what, your insurance company, saying that you've taken mitigation factors to fix your roof? Mitigation has several meanings. Mitigation can mean that, let's say, the condo pipe sprung a leak, right? And, you know, broke through your wall, and it's filling up your living room with water. But all you'd have to do is just plug the hole. Very simple. You know, so they can argue, well, the damage was caused because you failed to mitigate your damage. You failed to take reasonable measures to prevent things from getting worse. So that's what that term really means. In contract law, it's like you failed to take reasonable measures, and because you didn't take reasonable measures, you failed to mitigate your damages, and therefore we're not responsible for your damages. So I'm not sure what certificate you're looking for.
$120 fee to come out to give you a certificate.
I don't. But is that for your insurance purposes? I think that's something. Yeah, that's for insurance purposes. So that's something I think you'd have to ask an insurance expert and one of our sponsors here, Mac and Waltz. If I was to ever ask anybody an insurance question, Greg Waltz is the man. So you may want to look him up. Okay. Dave, thanks for the call.
He's on your website, isn't he?
He's on the website. You want to ask? You definitely want to ask Greg. How about we go to Vicky and Margate? Thanks a lot, so much. How about Vicky and Margate?
Hello.
Hey, Vicky, how are you?
Good. How are you, Eric? Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have a new management company since last April, and we've asked for the budget since August, and we finally got it December 10th. Our board was unable to get together until the beginning of the year. We've been asking for the budget now for many weeks, and we have yet to get it. What is our recourse?
So you got to look in your bylaws, because your bylaws contain a date at which the board members must have and pass a budget. Typically, it's like in the month of November, so that by January, everybody knows what they need to start paying for the new year. And if the board did not hold, if the board did not hold the budget meeting in the time that the bylaws required, they violated the bylaws. And, you know, that's something you can file a complaint with the DBPR about. You can file an arbitration proceeding. But
right. We were unable to have a meeting, but we did do it via email, and everybody approved the budget and said to send it out to the rest of the community. But that has not been done yet by the management company.
Yeah,
so,
but when you say
hold on.
When you say everybody has to approve the budget, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Only the board approves the budget, right? Not the community.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah. And if the board can get together, you know, by the way we're doing it now, you know, by Skype, by Zoom, and as long as everybody can see the board members and the board members can have the ability to talk and converse with everybody, that's all they need. So there really is no excuse to say the board couldn't get together. They don't need to physically get together in order to have a budget meeting now. You can do it by Zoom,
right.
Very practical. I'm at those types of meetings all the time. So no excuses anymore for not having meetings on time because we couldn't get together. Even, of course, what we're talking about, the coronavirus separating people, you can still appear
right.
by Zoom and
mm-hmm.
get this done. Okay? Hey,
right.
You know what?
But
we're
not
going
to
have.
Physically can't get the budget out. It has to be done by the management company to put
right.
the mailings in.
Well, the management company better start earning their money. What can I tell you? Hey, guys, it's been great. Second show.
Right.
Seems like it was a success. Sorry we couldn't get to everybody's phone call and everybody's comments and questions on the side. But we're having a lot of fun here. I'm enjoying this YouTube
thing.
Thank
you so much, Eric.
I appreciate it. And I certainly appreciate everybody tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe while you're on YouTube. To subscribe to our channel.
And like
us. And, of course, we'll speak to you and see you again next week on Condo Craze and HOAs. Have a great and safe week, everybody.
Remember you when you drink my